Hi there. This is a recording for Climate Babes and Green Check by Fritz Rinker, talking about energy and politics. Today we are facing increasing water scarcity and drought. There's two reasons for that. First of all, it's economically interesting to have water scarcity. There's a whole international movement of institutions and companies that try to make money off it. One example is an article today that talks about Kenya's drought and the insurance of the herders for those type of events. Drought in Africa will increase. The precipitation will be reduced there by almost 50%, the World Bank anticipates. And the director of the World Bank has advised farmers in the middle of Africa that do not have irrigation to get rain index futures, which means that you get more money when there's less rain. Like rain index futures, insurance for sheep herders or cattle herders in terms of money is ridiculous. That would mean that they would then purchase herds or cows from other pieces, parts of the world that will be grown and bred with the input of fossil fuels. So that will only go and work for as long as there's enough fossil fuels, and as these fossil fuels are consumed in that whole process of replacing the cattle and the herds in Africa, climate change will be exacerbated. So it's not going to work. Basically, the fundamental principle is that you cannot solve climate change using fossil fuels, so you cannot solve it with normal investment and securities and insurance and all that stuff. But of course, until people realize that and say enough of this nonsense, that will continue, and there's really a dire picture of drought in Africa where you can have like fields full of dead cows. Well, let's talk about solutions, because that's what I'm about. I don't think there is much problem with solving the drought threat to sustain our lives on land. The big threat of climate change and global warming is not so much that it will be drier on land, but that the oceans will die and that there will be gases emanating from the oceans once that they have warmed enough. That will exacerbate climate change, the global warming, but also be poisonous, so hydrogen sulfide. So primarily we need to cool down the earth, and we can only do that by growing more organic material in a organic fashion or using renewable energy sources, for instance solar power plants in the desert, but not to produce wealth for consumption, but simply to capture carbon. There's a lot of potential around the planet, so I can only go into one here. I can mention that soil carbon, storing carbon in the soil, is a huge carbon capture mechanism that we can employ, but then we have to get rid of the intensive farming technology that we have today. To talk a little bit about what we can do to generate water, of course there is desalination. One technology I would like to highlight here is condensation of water from the air. There's a Dutch company called Dutch Rainmaker that has built a wind turbine that doesn't use electricity generation in its in its mechanism, but uses the mechanical forces of the rotating turbine blades to compress. And compression can be used to cool or to heat, whatever you want, and to shift heat from one place to the other. So he basically, his name is Paul Oosterling. He runs a company, Dutch Rainmaker, in the north of Holland, with a office in near Schiphol, near the airport. He developed this wind turbine, and it is really interesting because this turbine can be put somewhere where there is enough humidity in the air. That's the only, and there's wind, of course. So you need two things: wind and humidity in the air. Coastal regions usually have wind and usually have humidity in the air. Of course, they're right next to the ocean. The humidity in the air means that if you cool the air, it will the water, that is the humidity, will come out of the air. So his wind turbine basically has a refrigerating unit, which is driven by the mechanical energy of the wind turbine, and it cools the air, so the water condensates and drops down into a collecting basin or some kind of container. And he can capture with a small version of it, which is about 10,000 euros he mailed me, or the original price. Of course, these prices will always be inflated because it has economical value. But if you say the hardware value, what does it really cost to make these things? About 10,000 euro, you can have 6,000 liters of water every day. And of course, that's a huge amount. That's enough to provide water for a village every day. So every day that the wind blows and there's humidity in the air, you can have that type of moisture. It's not this wind turbine is not only for super dry places, but can also be used in green places where there's simply no supply of water or fresh water. And it can be a huge huge plus, for instance, in tropical zones, islands that have a problem with seawater seeping into the freshwater reserve. So if you put a number of these turbines there, then you can push out the salty water. And that is, of course, in its own important for farming. You can only farm if the ground is not that saline. And many tropical islands are suffering in terms of farming because the groundwater is becoming too saline. You can wash that away with fresh water from this turbine. But imagine that you use it simply to irrigate trees. The last part of this audio recording, I'll talk about growing trees and the importance of that. Because if you want to reduce drought with no fossil fuel input or minimal fossil fuel input, no is preferable, then you have to use trees. There's a Dutch named guy in Africa. His name is Peter Westerveld. He's also probably known for the Naga Foundation, which is has been set up by somebody else to support him. But he has developed a very simple technology or method to increase growth of shrubs and whatever on land in dry zones. And as a result of his work, he also discovered a way of thinking about transportation of water over large distances. And first of all, his method to create, allow more plants to grow in dry areas is called contour trenching. What he basically does is he digs trenches along the contours, height, isoclinus, in the landscape, so that when it rains, the water doesn't just flow down the hill and disappear in some river somewhere, and is removed from the environment. It drops into these gullies, and is captured in the ground, is absorbed in the ground, and then later it can evaporate out, and it can feed plants and everything. That's much more effective in conserving the water that is actually falling on the land than allowing it to flow away. And with this technology, it's a very simple approach. You simply dig trenches in the right places. He has been able to triple harvests in some places. So in Mali, it's been applied widely. So to a big, there's an immense economical benefit in this contour trenching, and it is low tech. You have you need a shovel. You can of course use an excavator or something like that, but basically anybody can do it. And you turn a landscape into a green landscape. With that comes a lot of surprising insight. One of them is, he says, basically you have to have cattle on the land because you don't want the trees to grow too fast. You want it to be shrubby and green. And for whatever reason, he wants that. So you can actually sustain cattle, and the cattle itself is a benefit. There's other people that say that you have to let cattle graze on land in order to, develop good grassland. It's not, it's a very surprising finding, but it would mean that countries like Mali or that apply this technology will have a surplus of meat. So this is one of the examples where vegetarianism is not really needed in order to save the planet. It's only needed if you have meat production that is very, very, very fossil fuel intensive, like our in the West. But to talk about the other point that Peter Westerveld has developed, the other concept, and that is basically using trees to create clouds. He must have observed that that trees generate clouds, that there's clouds above trees. It's not really a miracle to think that we have rainforest. So his idea was, or his vision was, to bring snow back on the Kilimanjaro, which is, you normally would say that's a ridiculous notion. How can you bring snow back on this volcano? But it's possible, and the way he does it, or the way he is doing it, is by letting trees grow. And because the trees grow in places, they create clouds above them. It's not only that they contain humidity, these trees, but apparently they make gases molecules that increase rainfall. And because they do that, they capture clouds and they capture water, and they basically form a water basin, a water reserve above themselves in the air. And if you have winds that carry that air further away to inland, preferably, then you get a kind of a conveyor belt that will transport water from the coastal regions to the internals of a country. And with that, he imagines that the foot of the Kilimanjaro will be greened with shrubs and trees, and above that there will be clouds that will create a microclimate that is cooler, and that cooler microclimate eventually will make it so cold that there will be snow on the mountain Kilimanjaro. This is a good vision, and we should certainly support it, and maybe Naga Foundation is a good way to do that. Maybe there's other ways. But the interesting thing is that this really explains how, with minimal fossil fuel input, you could green large areas of dry land. First of all, you can always put these Dutch rainmaker wind turbines there. They create water. With the water, you can grow trees. You can irrigate trees. Of course, when the trees are big enough, you can move the turbine further inland where it's still dry. And that region further inland might be less dry because of the trees you have planted before that. This will take time, so you have to have a parallel approach to it. And maybe there's other more effective approaches, but it is one of them, and I thought I'll bring it under your attention. You can check out videos about the Dutch Rainmaker and about this approach of Peter Westerveld on the Climate Babe site. I would say check it out. And if you like this audio recording, then let me know. And if you want to support Climate Babes, our PayPal account, which is our primary easiest way to give us some money, is info@climatebabes.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a nice day.